Phil Hendry.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And we're online at philhendryshow.com with a backstage pass. You have access to the greatest value, the greatest bargain, the greatest buy online in the history of the world, in the history of the Internet, in the history of the World Wide Web. There it is. Our site is all about electronic, digital, and broadcast media. We have live streaming video cast. We have downloads of all of our shows going back over almost 15 years, over a decade. We have live video casts. You can watch the video casts on demand if you'd like to. You can get a podcast of our daily show. You can get, and this is not part of the subscription, you can get a free Phil Hendry podcast that we do make available on our site through our free podcast banner. And starting this week, there will be a free Milwaukee Lions podcast. Bud Dickman, please tell them more.
Yeah, the free Milwaukee Lion podcast is going to be the highlight.
You know, I could do that a little better.
No, he said I'm going to do it.
But just let Bud do it.
Yeah, well, can I say something?
No, after I'm done, then you got to say something.
Oh, okay. Well, you go right ahead then.
God. All right, Margaret, let him just...
Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah, then you get to have the free podcast.
Let me see that.
Margaret, let him do it.
Oh, the Gloid is messing it up.
Call me a Gloid.
Hey, watch it with the Gloid thing, okay?
Fine.
The free podcast, the free Milwaukee Lion podcast is available, tomorrow.
That was great. Yay. God, you are Abraham Lincoln, I swear, the Gettysburg Address. The Gettysburg Address.
Why do you mock him?
Phil, I think it's time you come to some realizations around here.
No, but why do you mock him?
I think it's time you come to some realizations around here. I think these two Gloids hurt you.
Hey, watch with the Gloid thing. Yeah, what are you talking about?
Wait, hold on. What do you mean Gloid? Don't use the term Gloid.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to use that term Gloid. But I happen to have a healthy son, Phil. I guess I'm not sensitive to that word death. And excuse me, I'm not finished.
Yeah, it's not fair, though.
Hold on. I didn't mean to call you a Gloid. I'm sorry, but I'm telling you, Phil, this Gloidorama that you have each night with these two, it doesn't help you.
I don't like being called a Gloidorama, man.
Yeah, can I finish?
Well, you're not going to be able to finish these two's... These two's... Listen to me.
Yeah, listen to your language. Yeah, even the way that you communicate. You sound like some Bowery boy. I don't know.
Mr. Hendry, I think it's wrong she called it Gloidorama. Yeah.
All right, hold on for a minute. Bobby Dooley is with us, and I have to get on the line with her. Look what you guys are doing to my news here. I got to get on the line with her, and I have to... Oh, my God. Bobby, are you there?
Phil, yes, I am. Can I make a statement? Because I just heard what Ms. Gray said. That is uncalled for. It really is.
I didn't know that you had a special understanding of... of that particular problem.
No, I don't have a special understanding of it, but I do have three sons. And, you know...
Yes, I'm familiar with your three sons, the ones that have been arrested.
My sons have never been arrested for anything. They have been in trouble occasionally with the police, but it has been for no reason other than practical pranks.
Phil, I think it's time that I tell your audience what her sons got in trouble for. First of all...
Excuse me, I will not allow that woman to speak for my sons.
All right, I'm not going to have this, okay? I don't want to hear about sons, I don't want to hear about daughters, I don't want to hear about family, all right? Or I'm going to hang up on you, Ms. Dooley, and Ms. Gray, I will consider this an experiment, having you in studio to be a failed experiment, and, I will call Frank, and he can come pick you up.
Oh, you'll call Frank, and he can pick me up. I drove here in my own car. What a sexist.
Well, he thought maybe your husband did.
I don't need you butting in, Gloid. All right?
Phil, call me a Gloid.
Don't call him a Gloid, all right? God.
Well, I think the time has come for you to hear some truth. It really is. And
it really is. The time has come for you to hear some truth. It really is. Who's the Gloid now?
Yeah, hey, who's the Gloid now? Give me five on that. Yeah.
Get out of here, give me five. The second time.
Are you going to allow these two replicants to celebrate at my expense with their high fives and their low fives? Is that what's going to happen here?
Miss Gray, this is Bobby Dooley.
Is that right? I didn't know.
Never mind. Goodbye.
Miss Dooley. What is going on, Margaret?
Are you talking to me?
Yes, I'm talking to you. First, you're coming on here with the... Don't say anything, Bud, or Robert. Both you guys shut up. First, you're coming on here with the Gloids, these two replicants. You know, you're talking about her sons. We can talk about your son if you'd like.
Well, you can talk about my son all the live long day. I've got nothing to hide.
Your son's he's gay. You know what?
Are you dirty?
Put your hands on his throat.
He comes in here and he has... How dare you tell me what you are making me out to be the bad person here?
You put your hands on this kid's throat twice tonight.
Bill, when I started talking, he comes in here pointing that finger, that feces-caked finger at me.
No, it wasn't. Just because I forgot to wipe.
He forgot to wipe. This is what you've got in here for staff. No wonder I've reacted the way I've reacted.
Well, see, it doesn't have a point, Phil.
All right, now hold on for a minute.
I'm telling you, I think it's harassment. It is sexual harassment.
How's sexual harassment just because I forgot?
Bud, how do you forget to wipe, man?
Good question, man.
It is a good question.
How does that happen, man?
I was in a hurry because I knew that we had to get on the air.
You were in a hurry, so when you get off the toilet, you don't wipe? No one forgets to wipe. No one. Except for you.
Yeah, so it's a first time for everything.
Okay, there's a first time for everything, all right? Still in all, that's a hell of a first time for something.
First time for everything.
Oh, God, here we go. He's going to sound like a broke. He's going to sound like one of those wind-up, some wind-up toy.
First time for everything, though it is true.
Yeah, first time for everything.
Yes, okay, first time for everything. And then what? There's a first time for everything. There's a first time for a lot of things.
Well, aren't you going to make the Hitler analogy?
What Hitler analogy?
There was a first time for 6 million people being murdered, too.
That, I don't think...
That was not necessary, okay?
Why? Why wasn't that necessary?
This is why people don't like Hitler analogies. I'm talking about a guy that didn't wash after he wiped.
All right. And for some people, him not washing his hands after he wipes is tantamount to the Holocaust. Excuse me for feeling that way.
You gotta be some kind of a mental case. And I mean, I've talked to a few mental cases here tonight, and we've only been on the hour for an hour and 15 minutes. You gotta be some kind of a mental case to start talking in terms of the Holocaust, because this guy didn't wash his hands after he went to the bathroom. However, having said that, Bud, I want you to get Ms. Dooley back on the line. We're going to apologize to her. I want you guys to continue your discussions here of President Obama and Governor Romney, and I don't want to hear any more about any of this other stuff.
What other stuff, Phil? That's what I'm trying to figure out.
You have been sidetracking us all night, Margaret. Please don't do it anymore, okay?
By the way, I have something to tell you, and a lot of people are commenting on this, and I'm sorry, but I want to say this.
Oh, just wait. Have you gotten the message that what I just said?
Yes.
Okay. So when we're talking about Gloids, I don't want to hear that.
Phil, that's fine. I won't use the term, but what do you expect me to do when I am parked between these two? It's almost as if I am sitting between two very vague yet alien entities. You understand what I mean?
What's that supposed to mean?
Yeah.
It means that when I sit down in a studio between the two of you, it's as if I'm sitting on one of those Starfleet councils that you see in those films where there's a man and then something that looks like a fish and then something that looks like it has an octopus for a head, and we're supposed to believe they all are members of the same intergalactic congress of some kind, you know?
You talking about on an interfederation of the planet?
Yes, that's... I don't know what the term is.
No, talking about a federation on a planet.
Federation of planet. So in other words, you think you're on a federation of planets?
Yes, I'm sitting here between two idiots. One of them comes from where the...
If I've got come from Klingon land...
I'd be Klingon.
Yeah, I'd rather be a Klingon.
You see what I'm saying? This is what I'm sitting down in the middle of.
All right, okay, hold on. Bobby Dooley is rejoining us now. I do apologize, Ms. Dooley. It was not fair of you to interrupt you, and you did have the floor. And we're going to continue now with Bobby Dooley as she gives her impressions here. And let's just forget about the Federation of Planets as she continues her impressions here of Governor Romney and the comments that he made today. Go ahead, Bobby.
Thank you very much. And I want to say thank you to Margaret Gray as well. I know that she is... earnest in her support of President Obama. I think that when we talk, though, Margaret, because I have sons and they love the Federation of Star Trek and those wonderful films. There's more than one.
I should say so. There's quite a few.
Yes, there are. There's quite a few. But if we're talking about a federation of planets, I would say that Bud is from Earth, and I would say that Robert is probably, okay, maybe he's a Vulcan or a Klingon, but you come from the planet that gave rise to the Horta.
All right, that's an insult. I don't know what she means by that.
I know what she means, Bobby. You know.
Go ahead and tell her.
There's a rock people here. Yeah, they're made out of rock.
Yeah, they just looked like lumps.
Oh, I feel so put down by that. The Horta. I know that if you were to walk into a party and say, Margaret, you remind me of one of the Horta, everyone would just say, oh, poor Margaret. If I walked into a party and said, you look instead like a Ferengi, people wouldn't know what I was talking about, right?
Are you saying that that's what I look like?
No, I'm asking. People wouldn't know what I'm talking about, right?
Are you saying I look like a Ferengi?
Yes, I am.
You are really stupid because Oh, God, is she stupid.
What's new?
She said I look like a Ferengi. First of all, you have to have big ears. Okay, to even up...
Will you guys stop with all of this stuff, okay?
Yes. Yeah, Reggie Miller.
Yeah, Reggie Miller looked like a Ferengi.
All right, Reggie Miller looks like a Ferengi.
Can we stop with all of this, please?
Who's Reggie Miller?
He's a bat... We're going to take a break here on the Phil Henry Show.
Who's Reggie Miller? I don't understand.
Well, Reggie Miller's a basketball player who, if truth be told, does look like a Ferengi. All right, we'll be right back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. You look like one of the Horta.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here. Let's talk to Bobby Dooley. All right, let's get into Mitt Romney and, let's talk about the redeeming qualities here of Mitt Romney. And then, Margaret, you go ahead and we'll hear from you some more.
Well, sir, I just think that, as I was saying to you earlier, and as my husband Steve, I think, articulated to our homeowners meeting earlier tonight, Mitt Romney has a vision for America. It's an America that is going to be, I think, less dependent on government, an America that's more empowered. An America that stands up for itself, and an America that whose people are no longer victimized by government. And I think that when he said that people who support Barack Obama see themselves as victims, I really think that in many ways that's true, because while you are gainfully employed, Mr. Henry, and I know that Ms. Gray is also... obviously comes from a family that earns its own income and supports itself. I don't think that it's hard to imagine that you and Ms. Gray still see yourselves as sort of the victims of corporations and government.
You can't, all right, I can tell you that I don't.
Well, does Ms. Gray?
If I'm being allowed to talk, am I being allowed to talk?
Go ahead.
Do I see myself as a government victim? No, I don't. Do I see myself as a victim of the corporation, of the multinational corporation? Absolutely. How can you not be victimized by the multinational corporation? Now.
All right. Well, I'm not
finished. Excuse me.
So I asked you a question. I didn't ask you to go on and on and on. All right?
Well, all right.
Now I forgot what I was going to say.
All right, hold the line here. Bobby, why don't I put you on hold? Margaret, do you need a glass of water?
I do. I'm getting faint, and I know why I'm getting faint.
Bobby, let me put you on hold.
Okay. Is everything all right?
Hold on, but Margaret looks a little... What's wrong?
I'm getting faint because of what I'm being forced to breathe right now.
Okay, are you talking about the air in the studio?
Yes, I'm talking about the air in the studio.
I took a bath and everything tonight.
Yeah, me too.
I took a shower. What are you breathing?
I'm breathing the air that three men have been emitting into this studio for the last hour and, let me just put my glasses on, hour and 22 minutes. And I've actually been here longer than that. I've been here since 10 o'clock Pacific. So that is an hour and 30 and 8 plus 3. Let me just do some math.
That's an hour and 38 minutes.
Yes, an hour and 38 minutes. I'm breathing the air that the three of you have been emitting.
Okay, and I am clean, and so is Bud, and so is Robert, and you're saying what?
I'm saying that the three of you put out a stink that even if you have bathed or showered, I don't care if you've had a saline solution sprayed on you at 300 miles an hour. The three of you stink, and you stink like an open grave. And I'm sorry, Phil, to have to say that.
Yeah, that is bad.
Dad, I'm sorry.
Margaret, I don't know what you're smelling. I tell these guys, and I tell them often, you guys have taken showers tonight, right?
Yeah, I took a shower.
And I've got the most highly sensitive nose of anybody that I've ever met. All right?
Not as sensitive as mine, obviously, because I can smell you guys a block off. As a matter of fact, I did. I walked down to my car. Right?
Yeah.
Well, where did I park it? A block? Robert, you know where I parked it.
You parked it down the end of the street.
Yes.
And you're telling me you can smell us down the street. You know what this is? This is just you trying to create a problem because Bobby is articulating as well as you, and you are a little upset.
No, that is not the case at all, Phil, and I am very offended by that.
Then let me ask you something. You smell us, and you can smell us a block off, and I know that I took a shower because I knew we were going to have a lady in the studio. And as you can see, Robert and Bud are dressed very nicely. I told them that they had to be dressed nice. Okay.
All right, Phil, but dressing nice doesn't mean that you don't emit an odor that would knock a buzzard off the back of a garbage wagon. My God! Get my husband, please.
Oh, here we go.
Would you please get my husband?
Call up her husband.
Who's that?
Frank Gray, you jackass.
Frank Gray's her husband. Get him on the phone. All right, Margaret, I don't, you know, for love or money, I would never, ever, ever do anything here to offend you or to otherwise. Frank, is that you? Hey, Frank?
Frank Gray, hello.
Frank, how you doing? It's Phil Hendry.
Well, I'm better than Custer. How's it going?
It's Margaret's here.
Frank, it's Margaret. Frank?
Yeah.
Frank, I want you to let Phil know about the stench that Robert has and Bud have emitted.
Hold on. Let me have another cutty sark. I'm watching this wife of Dean Wheeler, Phil. I was asked to come and look at her wife. And
who is that?
This Emerelda Wheeler. Wheeler is his name, I think.
Emerelda Wheeler.
Emerelda Wheeler. And she wanted me to come and look at her wife, and so that's what I'm doing. He's on stage right now.
And what does this Emerelda Wheeler do?
He's a singer.
He's a singer. What are you doing there?
Now, don't get your panties up in a wad and shove them all the way up into only two spots that I know they could go, you know, into.
Okay, Frank, could you just talk to her?
Well, he's getting his panties in a wad, and there's only two places.
I understand that. Would you just talk to her?
Well, what do you want?
I want to know what you're doing listening to another woman sing. I'm a singer.
I know you're a singer. This guy Wheeler asked me to come and look at his wife. Or look at her wife. Or his wife is... Who's his wife? Oh, I know. That's that lesbian that I was talking to last week. What's his name again?
You were talking to Rosie O'Donnell, and I don't think that has anything to... No, it was Ellen DeGeneres.
That's right. I was talking to him.
I don't understand how he says him when he's talking about a female.
Because she's a lesbian.
Say something?
No, Frank, nothing. I want to know what you're doing there. I'm listening.
I'm here listening to her wife because he's up on stage singing, and she wants to know if I'd be willing to manage him. Okay? Come on. He's the guy's wife. And she's looking out for his interests, that's all.
So you're there to manage a singer. I haven't known you to manage any singer since I finally left the stage some 15 years ago, and you said you would never manage another singer because...
Holy Jesus. Is he crying?
Yes, he's crying. I mean, she's crying, yeah.
Hey, honey, come on, honey.
Well, I just never...
Come on, baby doll. You know who loves you now? Come on, who loves you?
I never...
Come on, who loves you?
You do.
That's exactly right. Now, who's my little wife? What's his name? Who's my little wife? What's his name?
Margaret.
That's exactly right. And I would never go against his interests. Now, I'm just going to be here.
All right, we got to take a break here, Frank. Can you hang on?
or I'm going to have another drink.
Frank, can you hang on?
Then I swear to God I'll be home by the...
I guess he can hang on.
You mean she?
What do you mean she?
Because he doesn't know the gender.
Yeah, but I know the gender. It's a he, not a she.
No, but he always says she.
I don't care what he says. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I can't believe it.
God, I didn't know it was that big of a deal.
It's a very big deal. Ha, ha, ha. Ha, ha, ha.
Phil,
ha, ha.
Ouch. I just spanked you.
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-7445. Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And we are online every night on Phil TV and HD at philhendryshow.com. So if you are of a mind, get a backstage pass and join us there and watch us as we do our thing here every night on Phil TV and HD. On the line with me is Larry Grover, Bobby Dooley. Ms. Dooley, we have let go for the evening because things were just getting a little intense, you know.
Well, and also, I think, Phil, something needs to be said here. You know, if you can't stand the heat, you know, get out of the kitchen.
Well, I don't know that that was the case. I think the case here was that things were getting a little personal, and I wanted to separate the two of you, and you were starting to get faint, and you started to have your husband in here. Ms. Dooley didn't want to be honest with you, Bobby, or to Margaret.
My name is Margaret. It's not Bobby. I will never shorten my name.
All right, okay. I'm sorry, Margaret. Okay.
Thank you. I'm not some tomboy, all right? I'm not Maggie, all right?
I understand that. I apologize. She was concerned with you.
In what sense?
Because you were feeling faint, and we got your husband on the phone, and she said, you know what, I will bow out, and...
Bobby, if you're listening, I appreciate that, dear. I really do. I doubt the veracity of that, and I'll tell you why.
What's that? What does veracity mean?
What?
What's veracity mean?
It's not veracity, it's veracity. Veracity, it means truth. The truthfulness of something.
Well, that's it?
The truthfulness of something. The veracity of something is the truthfulness of something. The mendacity of something is what? What is the mendacity?
The what is it called?
The mendacity.
The mendacity.
Is the men. But men.
No, it's not about the... Oh, God.
The mendacity is the falsehood of something. One's mendacity would be one's lying. If one has mendacity, is the tendency to lie.
And a veracity what?
One's veracity is one's truthfulness. Okay. So in any event, you're doubting that.
I do doubt it because I had the better of her. I was really gaining the advantage on her, and I believe that I, as the men used to say in the days of dueling and wrestling, I had my man. Although that was a woman, you know?
Yeah, you had your woman.
All right, I had my woman, but I had her.
Well, I don't see it that way. I don't see it that way, and I'm going to let my audience know my opinion. I think she was being very sweet. And
all right, Phil, there. We'll give you a brownie point on that. You were being very sweet, Bobby. Thank you very, very much. There. We punched your ticket, Phil. You can go see the Padre on your way out.
God, what a sarcastic...
A sarcastic what?
I didn't say anything.
Yes, you most certainly did. A sarcastic what?
I said nothing. I've got a guest on hold.
And I'd like to know, a sarcastic what? Did it start with a C and end with a T?
Yeah, it did.
That's what I thought.
I didn't say anything like that.
No, I'm just saying, if it did start with a C and end with a T, that's what it'd be.
Well, did he say that or not?
No, I didn't hear him say that.
Did it start with a B and end with an H?
Will you come on and let me talk to this guy?
No, but it started with a D and ended with a K.
Dork?
Yeah.
All right, that's fine.
Yeah.
Well, what I called you started with a J and an...
All right. Will you come on, Margaret? Let's get on the line here before I destroy all the news copy that I have left. Larry Grover, Larry from Conservatives of Kern County. Good evening, Mr. Grover. How you doing?
Well, I'm doing great, and I've had one hell of a great time tonight, and I think your audience will agree with this statement. I've had one hell of a good time tonight listening to Ms. Gray. as she has been talking about Mitt Romney, and she has been very entertaining. I've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed it immensely.
And what does that mean, Larry?
I'm sorry?
What does that mean? This is Margaret Gray.
Got Margaret here.
Yeah, yes, Margaret.
What does that mean, you've enjoyed it immensely?
What I'm saying is that your statements have been so over the top, you have been so petty.
No, I don't think so.
All right, let me finish, if you don't mind. I know you butted in and you butted in and you butted in until you had that Dooley woman ready to just retreat because she couldn't take it anymore. I want to be allowed to say what I want to say, and then I don't mind if you talk until the cows come home or your son comes home.
And what? Oh, God, that... Go ahead.
Yeah, you know, I mean, if the shoe fits.
My son is home and studying, thank you very much.
He's studying? It's 11:30 at night.
My son is now a middle schooler on his way into high school. Thank you very much.
All right. Is your husband home?
My husband is... Actually, my husband isn't home, is he?
No, he's not. In fact, we did have him on the line a moment ago.
Yeah, get him back on.
All right. Can I say what I want to say?
I left Frank hanging here, and so let me see what's going on with Frank Gray, if I can. Hold on, Larry. Frank, it's Phil Hendry, and I wanted to make sure that... Frank, you there?
Right here.
Okay. Did you guys finish your business?
Finish our business? What do you mean, finish our business?
Sounds like you're talking about a bowel movement. And I just heard you talking to what's-her-face. Yeah.
Talk about me, I'm a him.
Right.
Frank, it's Margaret. I think we have. I'm talking to Larry Grover about this Mitt Romney imbroglio. Romney sounding like an ass and a half. And do you have anything to add to any of it?
Oh, I think Romney, she's strictly for hunger. And I think the only thing she's going to do is get our country laughed at. Lady Liberty will be laughed at when I see him standing there and
Mitt Romney?
No, Lady Liberty. When I see him standing there and I see him holding the, you know, the whole thing, the torch and everything that he does, you know, the thing he do, I get a lump.
In your pants?
Not in my pants, no.
Phil, can we get the two of them out of here? Because this is my husband.
Bud, don't, come on, you know.
That was a pretty good line.
Yeah, it was a very good line of what I wanted to say.
Might be, and I will give you that it was a good line, all right? But it made me look like the ass of the moment. It made me look like the ass in the hot seat, all right? And I'm supposed to be the one. Very good, Emeralda. I'll be with you in a minute. I got to talk to this Emeralda because he just came off the bandstand, Margaret. What do you want me to do, okay?
Well, is it necessary to talk to her right now?
I told Dean Wheelum, or whatever her name is, I talked to her husband, and he just came off the bandstand. What do you want me to do? It's your call.
Go ahead and talk to her, and then call us back.
All right, let me go over now. I do a little management on the side, Phil. What do you want me to do?
All right, Frank, thank you very much, buddy.
You got it.
Frank Gray. All right, Dean, not Dean Wheeler, Larry Grover back on the phone here in Culver City. Okay, Larry.
Well, what I was basically trying to say here, Phil, before you went over to the gentleman with the neurosyphilis, and
That is not necessary.
I understand, Miss Gray, but I think there is a time and a place when some of these things need to be articulated.
That was not necessary. That is my husband.
I know he's your husband. But the man is talking about a him and a her. He called Lady Liberty a him. He's talking about someone's wife being a him. And he talked about you being a him and a her. And he talked about me being a her one night. And I will never forget that night. And I will never forgive him for that night. All right?
And that is exactly what I was saying. You are taking very personally a problem that my husband has. And he has been to some of the best physicians in the world.
Yeah, but you know what? Neurosyphilis is nothing to have a kick and get your kicks and your cookies, because a guy, you know, if you're getting your cookies off because some guy's got neurosyphilis, boy, I feel sorry for you.
Who would ever, in their right mind, get some kind of a kick out of that?
But we ain't talking about cookie.
Bud, you know,
no, I'm talking about neurosyphilis.
What?
That's what that Frank Gray guy got on account of he mixing up everybody's gender. Remember he called you or her?
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he says the things he says, okay?
Yeah, and when you get your jollies and you get your cookies thinking about a guy with neurosyphilis, brother, I got to tell you, you know, you're all kinds of messed up. You are all kinds of wet. Every kind of wet there is. And I will tell you, Phil, that Frank Gray needs to visit a doctor.
All right, now that we have your opinion of my husband, can we get back to the point?
Absolutely get back to the point. And the point is this. Mitt Romney was talking to people in the privacy of his own home.
It was not his home. Are you going to address the actual specifics of this situation?
Excuse me, but to quote you, Ms. Gray, I have the floor.
Go ahead.
I don't give a damn if it was his own home or his own private hotel suite. He was in the privacy of a meeting that he was having with his own staff. Now, a man needs to be entitled to a certain freewheeling style when he's talking to his staff. If he is so-called misspeaking, he may be misspeaking for a reason. Maybe he wants that to be the message. Maybe he...
So he wants the message to be something that is not true.
Ms. Gray, if you don't shut up, I'll hang my phone up.
Don't tempt me.
No, okay.
He hung up.
Well, Phil, then he wasn't very confident in what he had to say.
One of the things, though, that we have to do here, okay?
You made him hang up. Phil's going to be mad.
Excuse me, would you back off of me? And I told you, Phil, I have stayed in this studio even with the stink that has now doubled in intensity in the last half hour.
Fine, but I'm going to say something, okay?
Well, what do you mean, fine?
There's nothing I can do about it. I'm going to say something. Now... you have been butting in all night. You have an inability, Ms. Gray, to follow a conversation in a normal manner. Know when and when not to interrupt. And it happened tonight, and it's happened on the phone.
Then why do you have me in your studio?
I have you in my studio because you're a well-spoken woman. You're a good friend, Margaret. I like you.
Well, you have not treated me that way at all. I've been reduced to tears on this program tonight. I've had to sit here with the wafting of the... I don't know what... I have to tell you something, Phil. Is that ass that I smell?
Or... Will you come on, please?
Don't throw paper at me.
Will you come on? All of us have taken showers. I told the guys to splash on some cologne. I walked into this place, and to use the cliche, it smells like a French whorehouse, to be honest with you. These guys have splashed on so much cologne, I told Bud to make sure that he took a thorough shower. Robert, take a thorough shower. I took a thorough shower.
And were you in the bathroom with Bud when he did this?
Yeah, you all said when she did this. You probably got the same syphilitic. Get your husband...
Shut it up.
Get your hands off of him.
He does that again, I swear to God.
Don't put your hands on his throat, okay?
Man.
God.
What do you mean, God? You're looking at me like I'm an animal or something.
You did, man. You almost tried to choke out Bud.
I didn't choke him out. If I wanted to choke him out, believe me, he wouldn't have a head right now.
Good God, Margaret.
Just don't mess with me, all right?
She almost squeezed my head off.
Margaret, look, I'm just saying, we all took showers, okay?
Then what am I smelling?
Have you checked your purse?
Have I checked my purse for what?
Maybe it's some gag your kid played.
It's true. Maybe Jason J. Delmonico knew you were coming in here.
Well, my son would... What are you two saying?
I'm saying check your purse. Maybe the kid...
Oh, my God.
I told you.
What is it?
Oh, my God.
What is it?
What is it, Margaret?
Oh. Oh. Oh.
She just walked out of here.
Man, what'd she say to the purse?
Should I go what?
You better not. You'll piss her off. Margaret!
Oh, whoa.
What's she doing, warming up or something?
I don't know. It stayed something in her purse.
Well, you were right, Robert. Man, it was something in her purse.
Yeah, she kept saying she smelled something, man. Because I know I smell good.
Yeah, I changed my drawers, too.
Well, good for you. You changed your drawers. You didn't wash after, you know what. Margaret! What the hell did she find in her purse, man? We've got to take a break. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry show. Go. I'll go find her.
Truth is Margaret. Our bitch. The Phil Hendry show.
Whoa!
All right, welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Just a few more minutes here in this hour. So what happened, Margaret?
What happened was this, and I'm glad the three of you are getting a big laugh, you know.
We didn't know what happened. All we saw was you walking out.
What happened was this. I had the big bag. This is my beach bag, the bag that I have here.
That's the one right there?
No. What other bag am I holding? Oh, God.
Bud, that's her bag.
Yeah.
Amparo, who is my girl, and she is, basically, she's in our home 24/7. We do have a maid's quarters, but she goes home on weekends. Now, I had said to her, would you stop off at the 17th Street Fish Market, which is in Santa Monica, and I said, would you pick us up a salmon flank? And she picked up salmon steaks and said instead, and I said, why would you do that? I said, salmon flank, please. Well, she said, Miss Gray, do you want me to take back? And I said, no, leave them there. They were frozen.
So you had what, salmon steaks?
They were salmon steaks that I put absentmindedly into this bag. This is my travel bag. This is what I put my tape recorder in. This is what I put my news in. This is what I put my journalistic tools in.
Oh, man, you got a dirty stick. You got a dirty fish on it.
Can I finish, please, without having him turning this into a filthy middle school joke? Okay?
Go ahead, bud, please.
Every time I talk about something, you've got this one here turning everything into something you scrawl on a toilet stall.
You got a dirty fish, you.
Bud, come on.
So, yes, sure enough, 3 days later, and I'm smelling the stink, and of course I think maybe it's Frank, who I love dearly, but he's getting older. And I said, well, okay, is it Frank? Did he go in his drawers? Did he go in his underwear again? And I asked him, Frank, have you checked your underwear today? And he gave me an argument, so I thought, okay, it's got to be Frank. But as I was sitting here...
Can I just ask you a question?
What?
Your husband now craps himself and he doesn't even...
Would you tell that to shut... Who are you laughing at?
Shut up, bud. Frank is going in his pants?
He's getting on in years, Phil. It's natural.
Okay.
Well, what does ha mean? You know, I'll admit, Phil, your breath is fine. It's actually sweeter than most men's. But when you go ha, it still washes over me in a wave of insolence and insult. What does that mean?
Wow, I don't think I've ever had anybody say that to me before.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
What does ha mean?
Yes.
It's hard to believe that you can live with a man who is your husband, who is otherwise a cognizant and together guy, who's going out and doing these, business meetings with singers and is conducting business in his law office. And at the same time, he has neurosyphilis and he is now he needs a diaper. You know.
Thank you very much. Good night.
Well, where are you going?
I'm going to where my purse is.
Well, what do you think? Look at this. That is so childish of you.
Wait a minute. Yeah, well, hold on. I haven't finished yet. Who are you calling childish?
I'm calling you childish. The whole night you've been childish. The whole night you've been childish. From the minute you sat down, you've been childish. You don't like what he's saying. You don't like what he's saying. You don't like what Bobby's saying. You won't let anybody get any word in edgewise. You start bawling. You need to have your husband to call up.
Yeah. Yeah, you tell her, Phil.
Shut up. Go ahead. I'm listening.
Well, you're talking about me, my breath washing over you in a wave of insolence and disrespect. You're talking about all kinds of weird stuff that me and Bud and Robert smell, and the stink that emanates from us, three men that you've had to bring. And now we find out it's some fish that you left in your bag. It wasn't us at all. Even after I told these guys to make sure they take a shower and they put on nice shirts and they look nice because we have a lady in the studio.
Yeah, she did, Ms. Gray. Everything that Mr. Harris said is true.
And what do we get in return? We get your arrogance, your pridefulness, talking to us like we're just garbage, calling Bud and Robert a couple of extraterrestrials, talking about Robert like he's a gloid, using all kinds of insulting words.
I'm sorry.
I'm not asking for an apology. I'm just telling you.
No, I really am. I'm sorry. I was nervous. It's understandable.
That's totally understandable, Ms. Gray.
Well, I was very nervous, and I wanted to make a very good impression, and...
But look at Margaret. There's nothing wrong with being nervous. I mean, we're all nervous. I'm nervous every damn night.
You're kidding.
No, I'm not. I'm not kidding.
You've been doing this how many years, and you still get nervous?
I get nervous every single night I'm on the air, of course. It's a live performance. It's 3 hours. It's brutal. And so we're all in this together. We support each other. You don't have to fight us. You look to us for help and support. That's why we're here, you know?
Yeah, we'll help you out and everything. I mean, I'll help you. I don't know a lot about it, but...
Well, but you know a lot, Bud, in your own way, you know?
I'm sorry I called you a gloid, Bud. I don't apologize to people easily. It's not in my nature because I don't usually do anything I need to apologize for. But in this instance, and only in this instance, will I say I'm sorry that I said that.
Well, that's okay, I guess. A lot of time I do dumb stuff, too.
I'm not saying I did anything dumb so much as I did something that was hurtful. And I'm sorry as well to you, Phil, and to you, Robert, and to you, Bud, for saying that you had not good hygiene. I realize now... What is that?
That's the music. We're ending the hour.
You know, even when I'm apologizing, you insist on being rude.
We have to end the hour. It's bumper music. Margaret.
Never mind.
Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry Show.
Okay, you know, grow up, will you?
Grow up, will you? Yeah, grow up, will you?
How does it feel? Do you like it?
No, I don't like it.
No,
Phil
I don't like
Henry.
It. Yeah. Phil Henry.